Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family Friday. Now, Carrie's not here. However, my two sons are here, John Mark and John Luke, and they are going to be with me in over the course of the program, talking about their life of faith, talking about their year at Franciscan University, and I'm excited to see what happens in this conversation. John Mark, John Luke, hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us. Yes, thank you. That's good to be here.
I like that, just that verve and enthusiasm, guys. That's awesome. All right, back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a prayer. Actually, you know what? I'm going to have John Mark, would you be willing to lead us in a prayer as we get started in the program?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, you're going to have to get closer to that microphone.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I'd love to. All right, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather here. Thank you for my brother and my father and for the men they've been in my life. Thank you that you are a good father and you teach us how to walk faithfully, both as man and woman. Please bless this radio show. Help us to speak well of you and speak well of all the gifts and graces you've bestowed on us. Please bless our minds. Help them to be sharp. Help them to be on point. And please bless all the listeners out there, anything they're struggling with. Please just help this radio show guide them back to you and give them strength and hope in you. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That's great. Actually, let's just start with that. So when I asked you to pray, you just felt pretty comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I've been grown up Catholic my whole life. I mean, you know that. And then every day for the last couple of years, I've been praying a rosary. And I actually enjoy very much praying out loud. I feel like there's the gifts God has given us. I mean, he's given us both body and soul. And these are not separate, but together. So I feel like he gives both of us, or gives all of us, both of them, to use for his glory and use for his honor. So just talking with him, having a real relationship with him, and being able to speak it in words that make sense and words that other people can pick up on and, I guess, agree with or join in is definitely a good grace he's given, not just to me, but to anyone who's had a real relationship with him.
That's really good. I think about our family prayer, and when we go around the circle and everyone's together, what happens, John Luke, when, if I say to someone, okay, say, so, you know, time for you to pray. And what's the answer that, give me an example of something that I'll just cut them off. And what will I say?
Yeah. So whenever we're doing family prayer at night, or happies and saddies, as we call it, whenever we start a prayer and it seems that like we're just talking to each other or just kind of stating facts, my dad will always cut us off and be like, actually pray as if you're talking to Jesus and direct it as if Jesus was right there.
Yeah, I say, talk to God.
Yeah.
Talk to God. So give me an example of that.
Yeah. So let's just say I'm like kind of sad, not sad, but like, I'm just not.
What we say, don't we always say, I think we don't do happy saddy so much. That's a mom thing. I tend to say, what are you grateful for? And what are you asking for?
Yeah. So a lot of the times we'll say we're grateful for our dog and we'll just be like, yeah, I'm grateful for my dog. And then my dad will be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Talk to Jesus.
Or up your game. Come on.
Yeah. So then what it's supposed to sound more like, or in a more, to make that sentence a little more prayerful, is like for example, you could be like, dear God, thank you for putting a dog into my life. I'm grateful for her and the way she brings joy to me. So.
Well, yeah. And then I think I say there's more to be grateful for than that, right? You can't just settle for being grateful for like the sports game you just played, or some activity that would say, or the dog, or general things like for world peace. How do you take that? Is that something that's beneficial to you now? As you think about like how to pray?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because it's allowed us to like, or me personally, to narrow in, and like more details, and it allows me to like really more meditate more on the specifics of my life that I should be grateful for rather than the broader things, and allows me to more focus on more day-to-day. Like, as I go throughout my day-to-day, it allows me to see the smaller things that I should be grateful for rather than just like the bigger categories, like not thankful for my school, but like thankful for the education or like the specific person that's been put there. So I just think it helps me day-to-day just be grateful for the smaller things in life.
Do you, what about you, John Mark? How would you say that, what's the benefit that comes from this idea that in mom and my efforts to teach you guys how to pray, we attempt to make it personal. Like, you're talking to God right now. Mm-hmm. And so speak in a way that is an actual address.
Yeah. So I'll touch first on just the fact that, like my brother was saying, how like we'll pray for the dog. I guess when you guys call us out on that, it definitely helps us to realize all the gifts God has given us and how these little things in life, such as our dog or our friendships, although they may seem little or great, like my brother was saying, they're very specific gifts and graces God is showing us through those. So it's like God can work in our lives, not just through how we relate with him, but how we relate with other people, or like our dog, other beings that can bring us joy or different graces and gifts. And you're talking about a real relationship with God, or how you and our mother have tried to build those in our lives. It definitely is very prayerful. I mean, a long time we were always doing night prayer, praying as a family. So seeing God especially work within our home as we grow up together, like when people get married, it's not like you're both walking towards God separately. It's like you're working together as one. So you and mom teaching our family how to walk together is definitely something that's very beneficial. Not just with, like, it's beneficial when we do the family prayer, but then outside of that, if maybe we're not able to because of schedule, just being able to pray by yourself, understanding that that is a time in your day and taking time to turn to the Lord. He deserves more than anyone else does. And like anything, any troubles you have, any thanksgivings you have, they all go up to him. So yeah, definitely having a real relationship where it just doesn't seem like we're just asking for something. Instead, we're talking with God and understanding how he's working in our life through like any means necessary.
So when we miss family prayer, I've heard you guys both say, oh, I'll just say prayers on my own before I go to bed. Do you end up praying more formal prayers, like praying a rosary, or the more personal things where you're sort of bringing stuff to God that's on your mind or your heart, that's either something that you hope for or something that is a burden to you? Or yeah. Is it both?
Well, every night it's a rosary for me, at least, if I'm by myself or with you guys. And then in the midst of that, right at the very beginning, just lift up certain prayer intentions for it. And then throughout the prayer, like I was saying at the beginning, if like I'm able to pray it out loud, then I can say the prayer while meditating on the mystery or meditating on different things that go along with the mystery, such as prayer intentions or thanksgivings, like you were talking about. So it's definitely just being able to take this formal, more traditional prayer and incorporating different specific aspects of my life that maybe I'm dealing with or just thinking about, whatever it may be. So yeah, both.
That's great. What about you, John Luke?
Yeah. So usually when I pray by myself, it's usually just in my head, and it's usually just easier to get more specific or just more in detail, or easier just to open it up more because it's kind of just all the thoughts I'm thinking at the moment. I just like lift up the thoughts that I'm thinking to God, and just, it's just so much easier just to be able to cycle, like not cycle through, but to like cover more or just to get in more detail. Because it's just one-on-one, personal. I just find it much easier to connect or just really get deep when it's just by myself. So
let's talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the fruits of prayer is that you have a sensitivity to God's presence. And so when I think about what do mom and I hope for you guys, it's not just that you will quote unquote do Catholic things, say Catholic things, but that you will have this, this sense of a living union, a vital, vibrant union with Jesus Christ because of how you're living this Catholic way of life. And so prayer is a sense of, I'm actually nurturing my relationship with the Lord. And so it's not just that I'm saying things to him out of a duty or habit, but I really want to get to know him, and I want him to know what's happening in my life, and I'm going to ask him for blessings and to be close to me. So when you guys think about your prayer lives, are you how cognizant are you? How aware are you of that idea that I'm not just kind of hoping that there's a God out there who's hearing what I'm saying versus, no, I actually sense God's presence. I sense the reality of Jesus in my life. John, look, I'll start with you since the microphone's there.
Yeah, I kind of want to hear what my brother has to say.
All right, John Mark, you can go first. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you're just talking about how we in our prayer lives can sense that God is real and that he's truly there. And it's like built on a relationship, a vibrant one that's currently working. I mean, like I said before, I think we're like constantly reminded of it in our everyday life. I mean, being able to do this, communicate with one another, have relationships, that's so powerful and like so, not I'm gonna say obvious, but so much of a reflection of God's love for us and the relationship he wants to have with us. So just being able to see God's gifts throughout every day definitely helps us to turn with him towards Thanksgiving. As far as just having like a true, real relationship built in with the prayer life. Yeah, I definitely do think that having like a day-to-day structure, I mean, with your family, it wouldn't like necessarily be a family if there weren't there certain things you did every day. And like I was talking about, we need to have like a certain time, I guess, set aside to talk with God. But outside of that, just being able to turn to him, I guess, in the midst of temptations or in the midst of Thanksgiving, whatever it may be, it's like he's like your best friend, or he's like your brother or your father, whatever it may be, or you can turn to him with any wants or desires or any Thanksgivings, like I said.
Well, what about like, for instance, do you guys find a sense of like, let's call it the presence of God more in, for instance, adoration? Like you go to the port and you have it's one-on-one, it's quiet, and the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, or reading scripture, or maybe praying the rosary, or if you're like taking a prayer walk, maybe praise and worship.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you sense that God's presence, or going to Mass and receiving Holy Communion, right? There's so many different expressions of a life of prayer. Is there one that you feel more drawn to, or one that stirs in you that, like, let's call it that fire of faith that I just feel on fire with God?
Yeah, you talked about going to the port, especially like adoration, like you were saying, I guess being in the presence of the Eucharist, and I guess two other ones would be the rosary. Especially when like I pray it and I truly do feel God moving in my prayer, that it's just like super, not, it was like super smooth, or it's very easy to turn to God. Another one is just being in relationship with other people, especially having like conversations where we can talk about how God has worked within our lives, or about the many mysteries of God, or pretty much any theological topic that relates to our lives. I definitely think God's moving in those, being able to see how other people have grown closer with God and how they've journeyed with God's relationship, and just how he's given us the gifts to be able to learn from one another. And
yeah, I think that's powerful. Like that idea of a testimony, right? That idea of, that could be a real encouragement.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like any questions you have about God and his relationship with you, or how he's like omnipotent or whatever it may be, being able to talk to other people about that and see how they see God, and just be able to like bounce off, or like you were saying, be able to give each other testimonies and just be able to talk about how God works in our everyday lives.
What about you, John Luke? I mentioned a bunch of ways of praying. Here you are, you're freshman, you just finished your freshman year at Franciscan University. Among all those different ways of prayer, any jump out at you as ones that were most impactful?
Yeah, so kind of going along with what my brother said, the relational aspect of prayer. What I would grew to really like after going to college was just like the personal, like just talking with a guy or a group of guys, just then getting like actually deep with them and like getting personable and talking about struggles and just talking about what you've been through and just past experiences and how you've been getting over them. And just keeping each other accountable. I personally just really like accountability partners, and I just have grown to love it. And I have so many amazing guys that helped me stay on the straight and narrow at college. And I personally just love like doing anything with them, like whether it's going to confession, going to adoration, going to Mass, you know, just spending time with God with them. I found that really awesome. And another thing that I really enjoy, like another form of prayer I really like is praise and worship, or kind of on the opposite side too, just like quiet meditation. I find both just to be very relaxing and very just like,
how about engaging?
Really, yeah, engaging. You just really feel the presence of God. And I just think it's really awesome just to be able to spend that like personable inside your like one-on-one time with inside you. And I don't know, I think there's a cool profoundness with silence, while there's also one with music and just praise,
like boisterous praise. Isn't that funny, right? It's, you can either be silent and still, and there's that sense of going deeper into your relationship with the Lord. He's speaking to your heart. But then there's the, you're all in praising God with a full voice. And that's also another way that, that God is just breaking into your life. I love that. I love that you have both of those experiences at college, at Franciscan University. This is Tom Kern. I'm with my sons, John Mark and John Luke. They both just came back from their first year of college at Franciscan University. And I'm talking to them about it, and hopefully that's a blessing to you. When we come back, we're going to dig a bit more into the first year of college.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran talking with my sons. Now, both of you guys ended up going to college. John Mark, you went to college a year early. John Luke, you went 2 years early because of the situation that made sense. It worked for you guys. I guess I want to hear, now that you've been through this first year, what would be the biggest surprise or biggest surprises that when you think about when you were looking in towards school, like, okay, hey, I'm going to be heading off to school. What's that going to be like? You living together in a dorm, getting through college classes with a major, away from home, you got your sisters there. Now you made it through your first year. What was the biggest surprise or surprises?
Yeah, I can start with this one. The biggest surprise was definitely, this one's pretty obvious, especially for a Franciscan, but it's the community down there. I wasn't really expecting everyone to be welcoming as much or so much like A to Z, freshmen to seniors, being able to be friends and hanging out and like have mentors that you can go and hang out with and like have a fun time. But then they can also teach you a lot of life lessons along the way and whatnot. So definitely the biggest surprise for me was how like God was in the middle of the community always and how everyone kind of was drawn to that. And then through that, people were able to make relationships with people who were like 3-4 years older than them or younger than them. So just
now, how much of that do you think was connected to you had a sister there that was a junior?
Yeah.
Was that like the only reason it happened, or it was just like, no, that just made it easier, but that was happening around a lot?
Yeah. So it definitely was MC, our junior sister. That was really easy to get to meet her friends, but it was definitely also through my friends having older siblings. And then a big thing was joining household. We can talk about that later, but it was just household was a great way to talk or get to know a lot of like specific group of guys who all had like similar, I guess, life stories as you, or all thriving to live out the rest of their lives similar ways.
How many times do you guys end up saying, are you kidding me? We did the same thing growing up, or, oh, we had a family rosary, or we had these like retreat things, or we had, oh yeah, well we did that. We prayed in Latin.
Yeah. No, that happens quite a bit where a lot of people have different things that they all
were a lot of young, big families.
Yep, 100%. You can definitely see that throughout the community. Like so many different friends we have older siblings that are like sophomores, juniors, seniors, older siblings who are going to go or who have gone through the school, and younger siblings who are going to go through the school. So definitely having big families, definitely different patterns, I guess you could see within big Catholic families. But I mean, all the patterns are really great, and they all like help build the men and women to be who they are today.
Well, when I first went out there, I don't know if it was an orientation or during that, when was the next time I went out there? Oh, it was grandfather's funeral.
Yeah.
I went out there. It seemed like there were also like groups of guys that came from like the same community.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And that was sort of another bond that had folks go.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, there's a big community from Arizona, big community from Virginia. Yeah. Like
Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Ann Arbor. Just big church communities where it's just like the high schools feed into it, which is great. It's like the high school they were going to had a big Catholic community, and they just want to continue, I guess, growing closer with the kids who they're friends with, and I guess meet more people in a similar community. So we definitely did meet a lot of people who knew each other in high school, but I guess that never stopped anyone from branching out and meeting new people, and then just strengthening those friendships that they already had going into it.
Yeah. All right, Joe, look, your turn. You're thinking about this, finishing your first year of college. There had to be some surprises. What would be a couple of things that were jumping out at you like, oh, wow, I just didn't expect that?
Yeah, so something that was actually like kind of shocking to me is how all the things that you kind of grew up with, thinking as like almost like Catholic chores, like going to mass and confession, adoration, it kind of turned more into like almost, I want to say, like a social event. It was like something you would go and do with your friends. Like I'd be like, yo, does anybody want to go to mass with me today, like at 4:45? Or like, yo, anybody want to go to adoration? Or hey, guys, let's all go to confession. Like it was like turned into a time where we could all just connect over having all of us be Catholic. So that was actually super surprising to me, like how it may seem like a chore when you're growing up, but like once you get like your certain group or certain community, it all just seems like just like a connection point, honestly. That was pretty surprising to me because I was never expect like that. I would be like asking all my friends to go to mass with me, or just asking all my friends to go to confession, that they'd all be like so eager and willing to go. So that's pretty cool.
You know, the word that describes that, it's culture. And so the word culture, the way that John Paul II uses it, it means that it's the unspoken set of expectations or values or goods, or the unspoken like worldview that is in the atmosphere. It doesn't have to be called out. It's just there. It's taken for granted. And it's what kind of guides the natural flow of things. And what you're talking about is what I would say is the culture of Franciscan University. And honestly, that is for me the most delightful confirmation and the hoped for reality. That's what we hoped for when Mom and I said, why do we want you two to head to Franciscan, and along with your other sister that was coming in as a freshman and the sisters there? It was the culture. And the crazy thing is we wanted that even more than the education. So that might be a surprise to you, right? Like, hey, oh yeah, you know, John Luke, you're studying mechanical engineering. John Mark, you're studying theology. It's like, okay, those things are really good and we're thrilled because they're going to help kind of set you up for a career. But what matters even more is your character. What matters more is your heart. What matters more is the core way that you see life and the way that you live life. And that's what's in the atmosphere at Franciscan. I think that there'll be some adults listening to this who are saying to themselves, is this real? Are these guys like making this stuff up? That, yeah, a bunch of college guys, they got away from home. They're hanging out together and they're like, hey, what do you want to do? Hey, let's go praise and worship. Let's go to confession. Let's go to mass. And it sounds almost unreal. It's hard to imagine that's the reality of college life. And are you guys part of some fringe group that's just like there are only a handful of you that do this and the rest of the people are just no, right?
Yeah. So like it's also kind of funny, like you'll see kids like hanging out like at parties even, and it's just like, yo, like you see them at mass the next day, or even at confession the next day, and you're like, hey, like how's it going? Like the fun party last night. So it's not like only like a portion of the school is doing this. It's like everybody is like actually living out their Catholic faith. So
that's sort of the, let's call it, that's the energy, that's the trend, that's the norm, is Well, yeah, we're Catholic. We love our Catholic faith and we're living our Catholic faith, and that's what it means. So what about okay, so those are surprises. Anything that was, I don't know, call it a disappointment, something that when you thought about what was going to happen when you went away for college for your first year, was there anything that was disappointing?
Maybe not disappointing. I felt like I was gonna go to college and maybe not hang out with my siblings as much, or like branch away from them, not have to depend on them as much. At the beginning, I guess it was more of a dependency, but I always enjoyed it. But towards the end, it was more like it was fun seeing them. It was always exciting seeing them because obviously I could go hang out with my friends without them, but seeing them and like having a friend group where they're all included in it was, I guess going into it, I would have felt like it was going to be disappointing. But coming out of it, I was very thankful because now that we're home, we can talk about all these great memories we have and about how, like, anyone who came down to visit us who was friends with one of us would be friends with all of us. So, not so much disappointing, but I loved how much, like, I grew with my siblings, not so much as depending upon them, but just growing in a relationship with them and being able to, I guess, be more fruitful when I was around them.
Well, I think that's a neat thing because when you grow up, there's sort of the family commitment. I'm a brother, I'm a sister, but it emerges or it blossoms into friendship where you enjoy spending time together out of a choice rather than out of well, we have to because we're siblings. So I think that's a beautiful thing. Jean-Luc, anything jump out at you?
I mean, this isn't as deep. I mean, food was a little disappointing.
The food.
Yeah. And then also
That's good. That's very realistic.
living so far away is also kind of disappointing. I mean, it was good going home for like winter break and stuff, but it's sad being home for the whole summer, being away from all my friends. But I mean, it is good to see all my family. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm just sad to not be able to see all my friends for so long. So, the only two disappointing things, honestly, were just like kind of location. Steubenville's not the craziest town or like most scenic, but I think the community and the college makes up for it. And honestly, having a good group of friends, you can find stuff to do. So I think it all kind of just circles back to the food being a little disappointing.
Nice, nice. The food, I love it. All right, so I'm here with John Mark and John Luke, my two sons, and hey, they just got back from college about a month ago, and I have to admit that when I think about you guys and having you go off, there was a bit of a risk having you go to school early, and coming back, I've been impressed. How many times have I had that conversation with you guys about, the difficult good, right? The art, the bonum arduum, the difficult good, and doing the hard easy, and wanting to do the hard thing because then that's going to become easier as you get more, as you get more character in you. Did you guys feel or sense the difference in how I've treated you since you've gotten home from college, a first year versus, oh, your high school students?
Yeah, so ever since we've gotten back from college, it's been kind of hard to adjust back to living under my parents' roof. So I think the main thing was now that we don't have school, we have to work all day. So honestly, I think now that we're back from college, my parents have given us much more freedom. Just because every day at college, we have like pretty much unlimited freedom. Like we don't have to be going to classes, like we could fail out.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
Oh,
whoa. Hey, hey, hey.
I'm just saying, the freedom at college is kind of crazy how much you get. So coming home after that, yes, it's a lot less than I had at college, but yes, it's also a lot more than I had in high school. So ever since I've like gotten a job, my parents have been like, been pretty lenient with me and my schedules. So I think honestly, now that I'm back home, it's pretty like in between what college is like, what high school is like, what I'm treated like now. So I think it's a pretty fair because it's still my parents' roof I'm living under, so I still have to abide by their rules. Well, at the same time, they understand that, yes, I was just at college for a whole year and I pretty much had unlimited freedom, so they're still giving me a little bit of space. So I think it's been a good balance.
Nice. Joe Mark, anything you want to say about that? Because I had a different take on it, but go ahead.
I also kind of had a different take. I think the reason they give us a lot more lenient or freedom is they understand that we now understand responsibility and how everything isn't just given to us, that we have to work for it. Seeing that college loan, it's quite a bit of money. So understanding that we need to pay that off and how we do that is hard work. Like you were talking about, you taught us the hard, easy, and now we can actually put that into practice where we go to classes, and if we don't go to classes, then the classes will just get harder. And if we don't do the homework, then we'll do poorly on the tests. And if we don't do well on the tests, then like my brother said, we'll fail out. So just understanding how being lazy or not doing hard things later down the line will make it much harder for us, and how it just doesn't set us up for success. So, I mean, you and mom understand that, and you understand that we just learned this lesson like the real way, or I guess the hard way, where now that we understand what you were preaching. And now when we're in the summer, we understand that we need to, I guess, make money, or we need to take our lives responsibly. Like we're turning into adults now. So I guess that's a big sense in it that there's only be so many more years where we're living under your roof. So you're trying to help us feel or understand what it's like to live by ourselves and be responsible for our own actions.
Yeah, I think I've been more intentional about saying, okay, these guys are, if you're going to run your own home at a certain, in just a matter of a few years, you could be married. And if when God gives you children, you have children, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I've got to take care of the space I'm living in, even if you're just renting at the time. And it's like, or you got to take care of the car. You have to know how to pay bills, insurance and, how do you fix a car? And what about stuff around the house? So I've done a lot more, a lot less of, let me do that for you, or let me take care of it. And then you're sort of covered.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, figure it out. Figure it out. And so that's that kind of whole spirit of problem solving, I think, is something that I've been emphasizing more this summer for you guys.
Yeah, 100%. I meant like just things that adults will have to do, especially husbands. Like you were saying, fixing the car, fixing the plumbing, whatever it may be. Thankfully, none of them have gone poorly or ended up with a bad situation thus far. But yeah, just giving us more responsibility to do around the house, things that will not just benefit us, but benefit the family, and understanding that that's just what we have to do to live or to run a good household is to put others before ourselves, especially the others being our family members. So 100%, now that you did bring that into light, I do agree that you've been pushing us to do more things for the good of the household that we wouldn't otherwise have done as your
Well,
influence.
and there's still more to go. Like,
Yep.
what was I talking about with you guys just an hour ago? Like, what time do you get up in the morning? Still think you're on that college schedule where it's like, well, we can kind of get up a little bit later than maybe we would. So there's still some gaps in there, right?
Yeah, we're putting it
But
together.
yep, we're getting there. We're getting there. I do want to talk to you guys about the jobs that you got. We just have about a minute left in this segment. And so I want to talk about that. And then I want to make sure we have a chance to talk about households. You guys have both mentioned that. And I think that's a really beautiful way to, again, help with this whole spirit of how do we actually grow and become young men of God. All right, back in a minute with more of the program. Hey, welcome back to the program. So today, this is Tom Curran talking with my sons, John, Mark Curran, and John Luke, and back from Franciscan. Well, you guys have both mentioned a part of life at Franciscan that I think when we think about the idea of how do you make that sense of culture, that atmosphere stronger, right? Like what will foster a stronger atmosphere? I think that probably the number one thing, besides the general atmosphere on campus, is this idea of households. And so for folks who are not aware, like I think a lot of people think of college and a group of guys being part of a group, they would think of a fraternity or women, a sorority. And Franciscan doesn't really have that. They have households. So John Mark, why don't you describe what households are? And then both of you guys are in households. I want to hear some stories about that.
So like you were saying, a household is pretty much a frat or a sorority where it's a group of guys or women, but unlike frats and sororities, they're not just based upon like our pleasures or whatever it may be. They're based upon different pillars or different virtues that we try to grow in, and then different saints that we admire. And especially for guy household, both guy and girl households have someone in the household called your big, who is someone that you kind of look up to, or someone who is your mentor who can help you bring you closer to God and help you live the kind of life you're striving to live. So I kind of touched on it earlier in the podcast, but big things about households is just being in a group of people or in a group of students who are the same age as you or around the same age as you and the same gender as you, who are all striving to live similar lifestyles that glorify God.
So now there are more than one. There's more than one household. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of different households. So the two of you ended up in different households. Yeah. So Jean-Luc, tell us a little bit about some of the households. And Jean-Marc described them as pursuing a certain ideal or attempting to embody a certain like spiritual goal. Talk about the different households and then the one that you said, hey, this is the one I want to join.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different households. I'll name off a few of the names. So like Lion of Judah, Disciples of the
Eternal Word.
Yeah, Disciples of the Eternal World, Brothers of the Divine Song. Toastuous Maria, that's one of the female ones. The Little Flowers.
So Daughters of Zion.
Yeah, Daughters of Zion. So those are just some of the names to kind of give you an idea. And some of the different guys' households structure their households around like different specific things that they like. So like Disciples of the Word, they focus more on scripture. And they spend a lot of time with scripture, actually, and a lot of time memorizing it. And then there's some other ones like Guardians of the Divine Will. They actually really enjoy praise and worship, so they sing a lot together. And so it's just kind of, it shows you kind of like how it's a good like place for a lot of guys that pray similarly or just like bond over similar things to get together. And so the one I personally joined was the Prodigal Sons.
That's kind of a scary name, right? It's a little sketchy, right?
Yeah. So kind of how my household is based around the Prodigal Son story. So Prodigal Son left his father, squandered his inheritance, wasn't sure, he didn't want to come back because he didn't think his father would accept him. And so he decided to come back as one of his father's hired servants. And then when he came back, his father embraced him and gave him a hug and threw him a feast. So I'm pretty sure you guys are all familiar with that story. So kind of how our household works is we kind of embody that through our internship, which is kind of like to join the household. It's the process. So kind of like for frats and sororities, what pledging is like. So kind of, that's kind of our internship works, where we spend a lot of the intenting doing difficult things.
So there's a group of guys that are already in the household.
Yes.
So now you're freshmen, you've come into the school.
Yes.
And here's a group, and this is an existing household. How many guys are in a household?
Yeah. So depending, anywhere between, honestly, some of the ones that are kind of dying are like, so like have like 5 guys, and then some of the big ones are like 45. But for the, they average around like 25. But my household personally is like 20 to, yeah, that's around like 20 guys. And we kind of want to keep it a little smaller side just so we can have a better connection with everybody. But I mean, no shade to people that have bigger households or smaller.
So these guys, so they have this group and they're doing a certain set of spiritual activities and other kind of social activities together on like a weekly basis, monthly basis.
Yeah. So those are what we call commitments. And every household has a set of commitments that they are supposed to be doing every week. And so like some of our commitments were like 6:30 mass on Wednesdays, holy hour on Sunday nights, Lord's Day, which is a commitment that almost every household has. And that's a kind of like a preparation for Sunday. We do that every Saturday. And it's kind of where you you read over the readings and the gospel, and you guys just kind of reflect on it, and then you break the bread and drink the wine, and you just, well, how my household does it, we say what we're grateful and thankful for, what we passed around. And so it's kind of around these commitment things where the whole household really comes together and kind of checks up on one another. And that's kind of like, it's the main like structure of the household is these commitments where you guys can just all come together and like relate on how your week has been.
So then the process of you're on the outside, you see this group, there's a whole bunch of them, there's different guys' households. And then at some point you said, that's the group of guys that I feel drawn to. And then what's the next step?
Yeah. So the way I kind of decided the group of guys I wanted to join was I looked at the upperclassmen and I looked at their lives, and I realized that that's kind of how I wanted my life to look. And I wanted to become men like they were. and then to decide which household you want to join. You go and you go to different Lord's Days, or there's different commitments from households, and you kind of see how you fit in, or see how you feel, or see like kind of like the energy you're getting from them. And then, you know, you'll start going, like you might like lean away from some households, and then you'll start going to the household that you're thinking about more and more, like more and more of their commitments, and you'll get to know the guys better. And then you just eventually decide that you want to intent, which is the process to join the household, which varies between households. And so, yeah, once you finish intenting, you get into the household, and there you go.
And you had to do all kinds of crazy things. Like you had to get dressed up and kind of different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of hazing in some ways. It's not really hazing.
We actually didn't have to do anything. We wanted to do everything we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that was good. I like that. It's that yeah, kind of covering think, yourself. Yeah, no one gets in trouble for that.
No,
That's
we
good.
Didn't have to do anything. So.
That's awesome.
But yeah, different households have to are asked to do different things as just a part of a way of growing closer with your intent brothers, because it's a special thing that you only do with your intent brothers. So by doing it with them, you'll just grow closer with them. And then once you get in, you can like kind of start relating on all the things you did, like all the different crazy things you did with the guys that are already in household. And it's actually like a like induction night was a amazing night, because it was just like you're finally in, you could start talking to all the dudes about like how they did it and how they reacted and responded to everything. So overall, it was just a great experience. I loved it.
Nice.
So,
well, what about you, John Mark? You ended up with a different men's household.
Yeah.
And why don't you pick up and anything you want to, John, Luke already shared a lot. What, mm-hmm. what jumps out at you about things that you want to emphasize, and then talk about your experience?
Sure. So the household I joined were Defenders of Purity, or we go by DOP. So like I talked about, each household has different saints and different virtues. So our three virtues were obviously purity, and then fortitude and humility. And then our saints were St. Augustine, St. Maria Goretti, Mary, specifically Mary Queen of Angels, and St. Joseph Terror Demons. So what drew me to my household were the upperclassmen, specifically our coordinator, Liam. He was the older brother of my really good friend, Andrew. And like my brother was talking about, just seeing how he lived his life and how many people respected him and how he was trying to walk his life with God down the straight and narrow really drew me to that. And then also seeing all the other guys who are also drawn to it, and seeing the great group of community that I could be intenting with definitely helped that too. So something we did a little differently than, I guess the prods also did this, John Luke's household, but it's, you have to interview. So we had like about, I think it was like 20 plus guys interview for our household, but we have a very small household. We had 17, and there were only 10 guys who were able to get into it. So out of like the 25 guys, there were only 10 of us who were able to intent. So our internship was really good. It was really nice, because when you were doing it, I guess it wasn't really nice, but you were able to do all these things, and then you understood, like, you gained so much more respect for the guys in the household, because you understood that they had done this before you, and that the household or the type of character you were trying to build to, I guess, reflect their character, that they had done this, all this stuff, and through this stuff, they were able to become the men they are today. So just being able to see that and see what your actions now could then later turn into the fruit down the road, that was really awesome to see. Things that I really loved about my household were, I guess, like my brother was talking about, being able to grow closer with my intent class, doing all these different things with them that our household asked us to do, and doing it, I guess, cheerfully or together, understanding like the brotherhood that it was building amongst one another, and understanding how we were all going through like the same things, and how we could lean on one another for strength and for fortitude, but also for like a joyful time and a time where we can honor and glorify the Lord. So all that together definitely made intenting like the number one thing that I've done so far at Franciscan. Like my brother was talking about, induction night was super fun. And just the whole intent process, really looking back on it, was a very joyful time, and do not regret it one bit.
Exciting isn't the right word. It's comforting, and it's encouraging that you guys have found that group of guys who are striving to love the Lord and live their faith and become godly young men, and to do that together at college. That's just a huge win for me. So I'm thrilled that that's happening for you guys.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're coming up against a break. When we come back, I want to, I've got, I think maybe one more question about college, and then I want to hear a little bit about your jobs and how that's going. All right, back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. All right, so let's see. I'm trying to think of. Here's what I'd say. A lot of guys that are listening and gals. Right, so here they are. It's now the summer, and some of them are getting ready for college. Right, they're heading off to school. Now, not many of the folks listening are going to go to Franciscan University, but a lot of folks that are listening, they probably have got kids going off to Catholic colleges. What would be some guidance, advice, counsel that you would give to your peers who are finishing high school, getting ready to pack and head off to college? And let's put it in context that, let's say that they don't have three other siblings at that school. So let's say that they're going to be heading off by themselves to a Catholic college, and to be able to, and the parents are saying, like, I want my kids to have a fruitful first year, and the things that you've experienced, great, maybe even greater. What would you say would be important things to think about?
Yeah, 100%. Biggest thing that I think everyone should do is first couple of weeks. That's when like all the freshmen are trying to meet each other. So definitely make yourself available. I mean, no one thinks about you as much as you think about yourself. Everyone's kind of concerned about how other people are viewing them. Like, be outgoing, be out there, like meet as many people as you can. It's not so much important finding a great friend group right off the bat, just meeting and understanding that there are so many more people out there than like you would have expected that like you can get along with. And then later down the line, you can like find your good group of friends that you can relate to better. So number one, we just get out there. Number two is just more like logistical. If you have a bad class with a teacher you don't like, just drop it and get like a better class, because having a bad teacher or having like a poor class schedule definitely will weigh you down, and you'll definitely regret it a couple of months in. So if you do have a class you don't like, I would suggest drop it.
Safe. Well, let's say this. Replace it.
Yeah.
When you say drop it, they're like, wait a minute, I went from five classes to four.
Drop it and then pick up another class.
There you go. So replace it with one that is a, and I, one of the things that we did, I don't know if we did that with you guys, was we were pretty careful with Mary Catherine about like looking up the teachers that she had and talking to other students and finding out what teachers would probably, she'd more likely flourish with and all of that. Yeah. And all that stuff's available online. You can look up a lot and you can talk to people.
Yeah, Rate My Teacher.
Yeah, was it called Rate My Teacher?
I think so. Yeah. Grade My Professor?
Rate My Professor? Okay. Yeah. What about you, John? Like, what would you suggest? Talk to your peers or talk to the parents to be able to suggest to their kids?
So this is actually a suggestion for the kids, is you get as much out of it as you put into it. You can go to classes and pass, you know, get good grades even, but you're only going to learn as much as you actually want to learn, because you could, I know many situations where kids would just show up to class just to show up and literally do whatever they want throughout the class. And, you know, they'd get good grades, but they're not actually learning anything. So my advice would be, don't take advantage of the education, but actually like focus up and do the hard, easy now. I was so tempted to drop engineering so many times, but I decided to stick with it because I realized, you know what, this is going to pay off in the long run. I'm willing to do these four tough years in order to get a degree that'll serve me great in life. So whatever it is that you're doing there, if you're actually putting in the work, you're top of the class already. Like if you're just paying attention, putting in the work, and honestly just trying to get as much out of it as you can, then you will. And my second thing is, have fun, and don't let, yes, do all your homework first, but also make time for fun. Because as an engineer student, I could have so easily spent all day every day doing homework and just studying, and I would have gotten like really good grades, and that would have been, sure, that would have been great, but I would have been missing out on the fun experience and the actually, like,
before you get too much further in, what was fun? What did fun look like?
Yeah,
give me some examples of fun.
Like sports games, go to all your team sports games, you know, cheer on your teams, because just going to these games, you'll meet so many people and you'll just
have fun in the stands.
No, yeah, exactly. Or just like talk, like hang out with your friends, do even do homework with your friends. Like have study groups. Like, don't do homework by yourself in your room. Go to, like, what we have is the JC, which is, like, the main socializing area. Like, I'd literally go and do my homework there, and I would just talk to kids as I did it. And that, you have no idea how much that helped me. Like, I was, first week, I was just in my dorm doing homework. Horrible, horrible idea. But once I started, like, going to, like, more public areas, it was just, it was a game changer, honestly. And it made me actually enjoy doing my homework. Like, I was, it helped me so much. So, at the same time, you get as much out as you put in. Put in a lot, but make sure to have a lot of fun, too. So,
well, I think that this is one of the things that, well, I say one of the temptations that kids have, that they go right through 12 years of school and then they head off to college, is that college becomes 13th grade. And you know what I mean by that? 13th grade. What I mean is that, well, you know, in high school, you're just, you know, what do I have to do to get an A? What do I have to do to pass the class? And then that can be college too. And it's, you're missing the point that you said, John Luke, which is, no, I want to strive to become the best engineer I can. And that's going to mean more than just saying, okay, what's my grade going to be? And just make sure I get my homework done. So it's really pursuing something, is it avoids the 13th grade syndrome. So
yeah, well put.
Thank you. All right, John, John Mark, did you want to say anything else about that?
I didn't date freshman year, and I was fine with it. So don't feel like you have to date freshman year. A lot of people date freshman year and then get locked down and only hang out with this one person. And then when all these other friend groups are forming, they miss out on all these different experiences that they could have had. So don't feel like you don't have to date, but also don't be only pursuing that now that you have freedom and you're out of the house. Like, don't fall into peer pressure. I know that's easy to say, but if people are being stupid and you're like, this is a stupid idea, don't just do it because everyone else is doing it. Like, be smart. Because later down the line, you'll look back and like regret doing it. But that being said, like my brother was talking about, have fun, have a good balance between doing work. Like when it's time to do work, focus on that. But then outside of that, like relax, have fun, enjoy the people around you. Also, if your school offers intramurals, you should do them. Intramurals is a great way to make great friends and also just to have an enjoyable time playing sports with just the people around you and getting to know upperclassmen as well.
Yeah, I thought, John, like you were going to mention that, like having fun. You guys did a whole bunch of intramural sports.
Yeah, no, 100%. Intramurals was a blast. I loved it so much. And you honestly don't even have to be good at sports to do them. I had many teammates who they were just so much fun, and they were, never played the sport in their life, you know, frisbee, soccer, and they hopped on my team, and I did not regret it. They were so much fun to play with. So don't feel like you have to be this all-star on the team or like that you have to be good to join it. You should just join it for fun.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to talk about your work this summer. You guys are going door to door, knocking on doors, selling solar panels.
Yes. And right when we get started, before we get started, I'd like to shout out my boss, Irvin. If he's listening to this, he's a G. I love Irvin. So yeah. And everybody else that works at Blue Raven, I love my coworkers. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, what we were doing is door to door sales. And
what's that like, going and knocking on a door and seeing who's going to answer and all that? Do you feel comfortable with doing that now?
Yeah. So at the beginning, it was actually horrible. I'll admit it. First week, I worked 6 hours a day, not one sale. And you know what? I was tempted to quit or tempted to even like look for a new job, but I kept hearing from my bosses and people that had been doing it. It's like, first week's gonna be tough. First week's gonna be tough. And clearly is, because the turnaround point for this job is like a week or something, because people realize I can't take all this rejection. So
what about you, John Mark?
What I would recommend is stay strong.
Like my brother was saying, first couple weeks are pretty tough. Today was pretty tough. I didn't get too many sets. Also, we're not selling anything, just giving people information. Also, it's really nice. You can meet actually a ton of different people, having like really like 5-minute conversations about the most random thing. And I would like to talk about this one conversation I had today. It was this lady. She had a cross outside her door, and I was there with our coworker, Almar, who's a friend back from the Oaks. We're both Christian. And I asked her about like Christianity, and she went to, I think, St. Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Mead area. And her name is Sydney. So thank you, Sydney, for having a conversation with me and for sending up prayers that I asked you to pray for. I appreciate that. But yeah, just meeting new people is a big thing about it. Being able to adapt to how different people talk to you, being able to, I guess, break the ice or have a conversation with someone in like seconds is definitely a big part of it. And I guess it's just taught me fortitude and how to like strive, even though like a lot of people are saying no to you, there's gonna be that one person that says yes. And like, even though a lot of people leave this job, if you like stay strong with it and have fortitude and grit, then you can actually succeed.
Yeah, that's great. I'm thrilled that you guys are doing it. All right, believe it or not, we are at the end of our time. So guys, thanks so much for being with me today. God bless you guys. And
thank you so much.
See, join me on Monday for more Sound Insight.
God bless.